Blog Talk Radio.
Down and get a pair of glasses that I can actually read something with, because these I can't.
You got 14 pairs of magnifiers there that some work, some don't. Okay. Tonight we're going to I'd like to start off with a couple of items that to my attention today, and I'm going to I'll be right there. I just gotta get it here. This article, or I shouldn't say article, it's actually a YouTube video. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long, but I really wanted to play this because this is really something. How the NYPD and the mainstream media show proof that the Israeli Mossad caused 9/11.
Really?
Yeah. And they show on this video, and I'm going to ask you to go to it because it's really phenomenal. But they show how the Israeli Mossad was picked up, and they had a van, all right, with a van.
They were picked up on that bridge, right?
They were picked up on the bridge and they exploded. The van exploded, all right?
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. But they actually had the van, they had a picture of the van that was actually had a mural on it that showed the showed the twin towers being hit by a plane exploding. Right. That's what they had. And they took a picture. There was a picture of it on this YouTube and everything. And it shows the different mainstream media reports that were done on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As well as what happened to the guys that, you know, where they were all Mossad agents, all right? And, you know, it shows proof that
they were the perpetrators
of 9/11.
Well, interesting enough, remember that the security at all the airports was done by Israel.
Yes, and not only that, but the jerk in charge of the, you have to show the, they don't get into this in this video, but you have to understand that Marvin Bush, George Bush's brother, was in charge of electronic security in the entire and the World Trade Center, all right, before it collapsed, okay,
yep.
Before it was hit. So he would have been involved with allowing them to set up all these things. But the video is called 9/11, Who Done It? You Decide. Did Israel execute 9/11?
Explosives were in the truck to do great damage.
officers to the George Washington Bridge, but they arrested the two suspects and they're questioning them as we speak.
Again, our apologies to our viewers about 5 minutes ago, but we do have an established connection now with CNN's Deborah Ferry. The reports we're getting now, two or three men arrested on the New Jersey Parkway. Deborah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. That is the information that I'm getting from two sources, that there was a van either on the New Jersey Turnpike or the Garden State Parkway, and that it was near the George Washington Bridge. There were two or three men who were in the van. The van was pulled over. It is not clear why the van was pulled over, but when it was, law enforcers found tons of explosives inside of the van. That is right now all I'm hearing, but again, two to three people in custody, and we are trying to get more information on that right now.
Deborah, I don't mean to put you on the spot here. Do you know where on the Jersey Turnpike this was? How far from New York City?
We do not know that. We are looking into that. There is one report that it was on the New Jersey Turnpike. There is another report that it was very close to the bridge, if not on the bridge. So, again, these details all emerging, and we're trying to piece them together. But that's what we've got so far. Two to three people in custody right now found with a van filled with explosives.
All right, well, understood.
And all of a sudden, down there, I see this van parked. And I see three guys on top of the van. And I could see that they were, like, happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked. I thought it was very strange.
We had received an all-points bulletin, and I just happened to see the van, and, you know, hollered over to my lieutenant. You know, I think that could be the van. We checked it out, and it was. You know, we were all on edge, obviously, so I really wasn't looking to make friends with these people, and neither were the officers that I were with. Once we started talking to them, you know, they were pretty much like, hey, you know, we're not against you, we're with you.
We're not against you, we're with you.
And at that point, we were taken for another round of questioning, this time related to our allegedly being members of Mossad. The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event. Our purpose was to document the event.
I bet it was.
About the truck bomb in King's.
That's affirmative.
Who is flagging you down?
DJ.
I've been confirming along with the MTI report the attempted toxicity of the
135 to Manhattan.
135. Central, we need the bomb squad needed to over King and.
9414, hold up.
Hey, Sean, the mural on the bench.
The Jewish
reported that the FBI finally concluded that at least two of the detained Israelis were agents working for the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency. And that Urban Moving Systems, the ostensible employer of the five Israelis, was a front operation. This was confirmed by two former CIA officers, and they noted that movers, vans, are among a common intelligence cover. The Israelis were held in custody for 71 days before being quietly released.
Right.
Nice.
And,
One of his
lawyers told us Kuzberg had been reluctant to take the test because he had once worked for the Israeli intelligence in another country. Later, he took a second polygraph test. His lawyer says the results were more favorable. Source tells 2020, after high-level negotiations between Israeli and U.S. government officials, a settlement was worked out. And after 71 days, the five Israelis were taken out of jail, put on a plane, and deported back home.
How convenient.
Yeah. Let's see what else. I forget what else is on here.
There was no question but that the order to close down the investigation came from the White House. It was immediately assumed at CIA headquarters that this basically was going to be a cover-up, so that the Israelis would not be implicated in any way in 9/11.
There you go.
So we know they were part of it.
Yeah, and the White House was a part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
The White House was using them.
That's
right. That's what the thing was, you know.
Is that apparently supposed to
That's essentially what happened.
But folks, you ought to watch the video yourself.
Yeah, it's called go to YouTube and go to 9/11 Whodunit. You decide, all right? And it's really quite
shocking.
Quite good, yeah, quite good. I would recommend it. Well, I did recommend it.
The shocking thing.
Yeah, this was a great article, I thought. 14 United States governors prepare state militia defenses to be ready against the Obama's rogue federal people. There, I'm going to get to it in just a second here. I doubted it would be up when I went to it, but here it is.
Ooh, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I thought it would be censored, too.
Political Veilcraft.
Yeah, that's the name of the site.
I never heard of that
before. Veil Politics. I haven't either. That's a new one for me. As 14 United States governors prepare state militia defenses to be ready against Obama's rogue federal forces.
Hmm.
Yeah. Obama, fearing a revolution against him by the states, has moved swiftly by nationalizing nearly all National Guard forces in multiple states: Georgia, Alabama, Kansas, Minnesota, Tennessee, Virginia, Louisiana, South Carolina, to name a few. The governors of the great states of Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas, and Virginia still have under their command and control the state defense forces to go against U.S. federal forces should the need arise. Also, important to note, there are no U.S. laws prohibiting National Guard troops from also joining their state defense forces. This dilemma occurred during the Civil War, with many citizen soldiers choosing to serve their states instead of the federal government.
How many more people does British monarchy's BP have to kill before America understands it's the British monarchy's use of shadow governments to destroy nations?
I think that's another article, this goes on.
Yeah, Obama is angered by, I guess they put that in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Obama is angered by the several state governors who have reestablished state defense forces. These forces are described as state defense forces, also known as state guards, state military reserves, state militias. In the United States, there are military units that operate under the sole authority of a state government. They are not regulated by the National Guard Bureau, nor are they part of the Army National Guard of the United States. State defense forces are authorized by state and federal law and are under the command of the governor of each state. state defense forces are distinct from the state's National Guard. I didn't know that. And they cannot become federal entities.
I didn't know that either, which is the, when I read
this
article.
This is explaining
it
to us. Mr. Obama is fearful of these state defense forces and that he does not have control over said forces. And with the U.S. military stretched to near breaking point from multiple deployments and theater actions in Iraq and Afghanistan, these state military forces would be under the direct command and authority of governors in which states have said forces. In essence, the governors would have de facto control of the United States.
Now, look at the network, let's see, Islamic Terrorist Network in America, which is like, you know, there's a little map here that shows
Portland,
Oregon.
What does that have to do with that?
I don't know.
It's kind of...
But it's in all these states that have the State Guard, which I thought was kind of interesting. But
no, they're all in red. You know, Connecticut doesn't have one, I guess.
It says notice of all Ramadan celebrating Islamist terrorist camps. I don't know. But anyway, the two governors leading this move are Tim Pawlenty,
mm-hmm.
who dropped out of the presidential race
mm-hmm.
for obvious reasons. He couldn't get the money. And governor of Minnesota and Rick Perry, governor of Texas. Both of these state governors stated that they have deep fear the president is destroying their nation. Governor Pawlenty's fear of Obama is the sense is that since Obama took office, he has appeased America's enemies and has...
Wait just a second.
Okay, you want to go to that?
Yeah. Especially Israel. Governor Perry has declared that Obama is punishing his state of Texas by dumping tens of thousands of illegal Mexican immigrants into the cities and small towns of Texas. Governor Perry further recently stated, if Barack Obama's Washington doesn't stop being so oppressive, Texas might feel compelled to renounce the American citizens and secede from the Union.
Okay.
This is Dr. Lyle J. Rapacki. Lyle is an intelligence analyst and consultant who receives and disseminates critical intelligence and policy information from and to law enforcement, intelligence operatives, homeland security officials, government and community leaders. He is the author of dozens of white papers, bulletins, and briefings, and he is frequently called on to share his expertise with public and private security directors and organizations. Lyle J. Rapacki, Ph.D. Let's see, I guess he's the author of that article. This site's a little disjointed. They throw things in the middle and make it a little confusing.
But nevertheless, this was really interesting. And this article here as well is one that I wanted to read. It's from the same political veil craft, but it states that U.S. sheriffs rise up against federal government. Sheriffs threaten feds with SWAT team. Okay.
Grassroots take charge.
Right. Good article.
I wonder where that happened. Let's find out.
Here. As more people became dissatisfied with federal government controls and land grabs, it was inevitable that local law enforcement would eventually see the big picture. At the Northern California Fairgrounds of Eureka last month, seven California sheriffs and another from Oregon gathered with a large group of citizens to say that they are finally going to do something about it. A giant has been awakened, said Plumas County, California Sheriff Greg Hagwood, and they didn't count on that, speaking on the federal bureaucracy. With the exposure of the Emergency Management Center in San Luis Obispo a few decades ago, California began to offer the rest of the nation some evidence of the psychological conditioning aimed from the federal level at state, county, and city law enforcement. Nevada Sheriff Tony DeMeo stops federal government feds engaging in illegal confiscation of cattle and water rights of county property owners. In Oregon, Sheriff Gilbertson gives federal agents the boot, and feds have no jurisdiction.
Dean Wilson, Sheriff of Del Norte County, Sacramento, is a great example of this great awakening. He received the loudest and longest applause for his candor in confessing past faults after apologizing for not understanding the central government assault and land grab being committed against the people and what he should have been doing about it. Only in the past year has he done a turnabout and begun to behave as a county sheriff instead of an extension of federal law enforcement. Obama's federal stooges beginning to understand the power of sheriffs. Sheriff warns federal agents they will be arrested if they interfere. Arizona sheriff, if decapitating police officers is not terrorism, what is? More troops at Korean border than deadly U.S.-Mexican border. I had spent a good part of my life enforcing the penal code, but not understanding my oath of office, he told the audience. I was ignorant and naive. But now I know of the assault against our people by the federal government.
Post Sheriff John Lopi of Siskiyou County, speaking about the federal environmental intervention, said, I have told federal and state officials over and over that, yes, we want to preserve the environment, but you care more about the fish, frogs, trees, and birds than you do about the human race. When will you start to balance your decisions to the needs of the people? Later, we told the audience, we are right now in a fight for our survival.
Glenn Palmer, sheriff of Grant County, Oregon, said, if an elected official has not taken an oath of office, he does not belong in office. AFP readers are familiar with the work of former Arizona sheriff Richard Mack, who has spent the latter half of his life teaching sheriffs that they are the top law enforcement officers in their counties, despite continuing federal intervention attempts. The ears that were deaf for so long may finally be starting to hear.
State of the Republic correcting their wayland child, new
wayward
laws,
child.
New laws constraining the federal government. Stop Homeland Security agents cold in Tennessee. These are two articles that are, these are two other articles that are coming up. I won't play, but this is the interview. This is where they state interfered and stopped the federal government. It's becoming national movement now, Mack told AFP, citing Immigration and Naturalization Services' failure at the Mexican borders, the phony drug war, plus IRS and other unconstitutional intervention within these states. His plan to take this movement national will be launched by a January meeting. Here he anticipates 200 sheriffs will be in attendance. Wow, that's good.
The county sheriff is the last line of defense guarding our people's liberty, he said. Retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Richard Nimella of Reston, Virginia, has been exposing the federal monster for years. He told the AFP, it's a surreptitious domination by international globalists insidiously using unauthorized and illegal tactics to render null and void those historic and unique powers of the sheriff. And there's a whole list of articles from the American Free Press.
This one is interesting, too. Police locked down Bank of America. Okay. Florida homeowner forecloses on Bank of America. Right? And police movers and lawyers order furnishings to be removed from the bank for auction. Okay, yeah, they foreclosed on Active Bank of America. U.S. District Federal Judge orders police to stand down, orders Tennessee police to stop arresting Occupy protesters. And High Noon Sheriffs in America, battle against Rothschild's richest 1%, the International Wall Street Banking Cartel. Arizona Sheriff Babo, Department of Justice and Assault Task Force, accomplice to murder, Holder had knowledge of Project Gunrunner in 2009. States nullify unconstitutional federal laws, even when endorsed by the Supreme Court public opinion, and support make it easy to resist federal tyranny. Nullification of the tax.
That's another article.
Yeah, and Rothschild Obama establishes domestic terrorism groups by signing his 86th executive order. U.S. farmers and landowners stripped of their liberty and given to communist rule stakeholders, agricultural dams being removed in the U.S. under U.N. Agenda 21. Obama's natural born status to enter Senate Ethics Committee. I don't know if that's probably passed by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that these things really did happen. Why don't you, if you want, if you're interested, check out Political Veil Craft. Okay.
And they have lots of articles on different subjects, like Ron Paul, Henry King,
and all the different sheriffs and all the different things that have been happening here. So it's very interesting. I think that
was this something sent to you by somebody?
No, actually, I found this on the Ike site.
Very interesting.
And very, very, very good. Very good article. A very good thing. I don't have time to. I wish I did, because this is about 10 minutes long. But it's a good one, and I'd like to play it if I could. The Zion Mainframe.
Okay.
Okay, and I think, you know, we got time to play it. But it's a very, very good article. It's 21 minutes long.
Now, before I start this,
this is David Icke's
talking about
Zion, the Rothschild Zionism, how it's established all over the world, how it creates what it does, and who is and who the main players are. But it's the mainframe. It's how it's designed.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's their agenda.
It's their agenda. And it's the Zionist agenda, and it's very good. And there's some segments in there there's some other interviews in this. But you think I should play this?
I do.
21 minutes though.
But if you think it's really that worthwhile, then you should play.
It is.
So people have a chance to at least listen to it, you know.
Yeah.
And if they don't have time to go to it and read it themselves.
No, but I think it really is. It's on YouTube. It's called The Zion Mainframe and David Icke, 2011. Very, very, very good.
Let's play that.
Fact. Jewish people in America are less than 2% of the population. A significant number of them will not be Rothschild Zionists, and therefore the ratio of Rothschild Zionists is even smaller, significantly smaller than the 2%. Okay, Rothschild Zionists control the media and Hollywood. Don't take my word for it. Los Angeles Times columnist Joel Steen, Rothschild Zionist, wrote an article proclaiming that Americans who don't think Jews, I would say Rothschild Zionists, control Hollywood, are just plain dumb. I had to scour the trades to come up with 6 Gentiles in high positions at entertainment companies, but lo and behold, even one of that 6, AMC President Charles Collier, turns out to be a Jew. As a proud Jew, I want America to know of our accomplishment. Yes, we control Hollywood. Leading Israeli paper columnist said, the Jews do control the American media. This is very clear, and claiming otherwise is an insult to common knowledge. And what do the media do? They keep the truth from us and keep us diverted from what's really going on. It's an elephant in the bloody living room, and people are terrified of going there because they're terrified of being called racist and anti-Semitic and all that. They'll call you anti-Semitic. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. In the Matrix movie, there's something called the Zion Mainframe. Well, Zionism, Rothschild Zionism, is in so many ways a mainframe of this network, that it pervades all the way through. And it's not about, oh, these Jewish people here and these Jewish people there. It's Rothschild Zionists who are there, and they answer to the Rothschild dynasty. Therefore, they play out the agenda of the web in a coordinated way. Mossad is not the intelligence agency of Israel. It's the intelligence agency of the Rothschilds, and that's why it turns up all over the world in false flag set up terrorist events and assassinations and all that stuff, because it's not carrying out the policy of Israel. It's carrying out the policy of the Rothschilds that control Israel.
It was exactly 43 years ago today, the Israeli military attacked and killed more than 30 men on board a research vessel. But this time, the casualties weren't a smorgasbord of people from all over the world. They were men from Israel's biggest ally, the United States.
And the survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
We couldn't even open the hatch up because they were shooting at us so bad. There was no place to go. They shot the life rafts. If we had to go into the water, there would have probably been no survivors.
Not only a close ally deliberately attacked this ship, but that the United States kind of sat by and allowed it to happen.
June 8, 1967, Six-Day War. Mm-hmm. And the ship was in the international waters. We had to find out what was going on because the Arabs were being backed by the Cold War, the Russians.
Is this the USS Liberty?
USS Liberty, exactly. 34 men were killed. Almost the rest of the ship were wounded. They committed war crimes of all countries in the commission of this terrible two-hour attack.
So what would you tell someone here who is advocating for, hey, the United States has got to set up massive defense around Israel and give them all the tanks they need and all the bombs they need and $40 million a year in foreign aid? What do you tell people like that?
I get a lot of agreement that we should just get the heck out of the Middle East and work it out.
Including out of Israel.
Including in this group. They are not our only allies in the Middle East. They're not our only friends there. And they're not our allies unless it suits them.
In the early 1960s, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, L.O. Levinson, concocted a plan for false flag operations as a pretext to invade Cuba and for war with the Soviet Union. In Operation Northwoods, they planned to hijack jets by remote control, crash them, and blame the attack on Cuba. There were many other terrorist attacks they planned to carry out that were contained within the document. One scenario mentioned was the destruction of a U.S. naval vessel that was to be blamed on a foreign power as a pretext for war with any enemy they picked. President Lyndon Baines Johnson went operational with Northwoods on June 8, 1967, during the Six-Day War. During the Six-Day War between Israel and the Arab nations, the USS Liberty was sent by Johnson to collect electronic intelligence in the eastern Mediterranean. The clearly marked U.S. intelligence ship was 14 miles off the coast of Israel in international waters.
A short time after the air attack had been completed, the three torpedo boats approached us from our starboard quarter at high speed and in an apparent torpedo launch attitude.
Israeli surveillance aircraft flew low over the ship and clearly identified it as an American vessel. At 2 p.m. that afternoon, the USS Liberty was attacked by three Mirage 3 fighter bombers. From the onset of the attack, the fighter bombers were jamming U.S. signals. Not only were they jamming U.S. signals specifically, they were also unmarked, the only unmarked aircraft in Israel's arsenal. Fighter bombers strafed the ships with their cannons, dropped conventional munitions and napalm on the ship, repeatedly from stem to stern. After the Mirages had done their work, the ship was hit by medium bomber Dassault Missiles, carrying napalm and other munitions like white phosphorus. The USS Liberty was then attacked by three Israeli torpedo boats bearing Israeli flags. The torpedo gunboats opened fire with high-caliber machine guns and launched torpedoes. A single torpedo struck the ship, blowing a hole in both sides, entering the ship and leaving a 30-foot exit hole when it exploded. Then the torpedo boats began strafing life rafts in the water, an international war crime. While all of this was happening, the oversized American flag flew clearly above the ship. The attack on the Liberty went on for hour after hour after hour. During the entire attack, the USS Liberty continually called the 6th Fleet that was nearby, begging for air support or rescue. Two aircraft carriers and the Med responded by launching fighter aircraft. Unbelievably, they were recalled by the White House. Rear Admiral Geis, then commanding the carriers in the 6th Fleet, called Washington personally to confirm the recall order. Secretary of Defense McNamara came on the line, and then President Johnson himself told Geis, "I want that goddamn ship going to the bottom. No help. Recall the wings." Imagine being Admiral Geis begging the president to allow you to defend an American ship that's under attack and being told by him that he wants the ship going to the bottom. Despite the fact that the U.S. carriers withdrew their help, a Russian spy ship appeared and witnessed part of the attack. After 3 hours into the attack, the Israelis withdrew because there were witnesses, allowing the damaged USS Liberty to limp to safety. 40 years after the attack on the USS Liberty, we know exactly what happened. I've interviewed former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moore. I've interviewed the admirals that were on the line who heard what President Johnson said. I've even talked to the head JAG officer of the Navy who was ordered to falsify the reports and cover up what had really happened. One of the Israeli pilots has gone public as well, saying that three times he refused over his radio to headquarters to attack the ship, saying clearly that it was an American ship in international waters and an ally. He was ordered under threat of court-martial to engage the ship. In a nutshell, this is what happened. President Johnson had personal control over the ship. parked it in the Mediterranean, made a backroom deal with Israel to attack it with an order to kill all aboard. Then the attack on the ship was to be blamed on Egypt. The U.S. would enter the war and take over the entire Middle East in the aftermath of the attack on the most highly decorated ship in U.S. history. The captain and his entire crew were told they would spend life in prison or be killed if they told anyone what happened. Captain William L. McGonagall was given the Congressional Medal of Honor in secret and told not to tell anyone that he had won the award.
No matter what he said about Israel, this is Israel's response. Why? Because Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschild dynasty, which also controls the American administration, the British administration, and so Rothschild's one arm is not going to criticize Rothschild's other arm. So when you look at this, because Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschilds, you see that this dynamic, so you think, is the man of 300 million people, the superpower, is the most powerful of the two. No, no. He is controlled from there. Because the Rothschilds control them. The new Prime Minister of Britain, David Cameron, Rothschild Zionist. This guy, Tony Blair, was completely controlled by them, as Bush was, which is why they moved as one unit to do what the Rothschilds wanted, which was to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. But then you get people like the magnificent Norman Finkelstein, who's a Jewish man who's had his academic career destroyed for speaking out. His parents suffered in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany, and when he exposes these frauds and fakes in the Rothschild Zionist movement and what they do against Jewish people in general, he's called a self-hater. They can't say he's anti-Semitic, although sometimes they even use that. He's a self-hater. This man, magnificent Israeli, called Mordecai Vanunu, went to jail for 18 years for revealing the truth that Israel is a nuclear power. He's still got massive restrictions on his movement and what he can say. And you know, and he announced officially, that he was continuing it. There is an official policy that on Israel's nuclear weaponry, America doesn't ask and Israel doesn't say. That's an official policy. Iran hasn't even got it yet, and they want to invade the bloody place.
The Iranian threat must be stopped by all possible means. International economic and political sanctions on Iran, as crucial as they may be, are only an initial step and must be dramatically increased. Leave no doubt as to the urgent need for more drastic and robust measures. Israel will not tolerate the possibility of a nuclear Iran, and neither should any other country in the free world.
You have applauded UN sanctions and sanctions adopted by the United States and Europe against Iran.
I hope that other nations and other leaders follow the U.S. and President Obama's lead and target hard sanctions against, primarily against Iran's energy sector. This regime basically lives off oil. And cannot do without the import of gasoline. Iran is a very brutal regime. It brutalizes its own people. It sponsors terrorism left and right against my own country, against others, and it calls for the destruction of the Jewish state. I think it should not be allowed to have nuclear weapons.
A common message to the Iranians that it's their behavior trying to clandestinely develop a nuclear weapon or using the guise of a civilian nuclear weapon program to get the know-how to develop a nuclear weapon is unacceptable.
I think it is wholly unacceptable for Iran to have nuclear weapons capability. I think we've got to be prepared to confront them if necessary militarily. I think there is no alternative to that.
The United States, the United Kingdom, and France presented detailed evidence to the IAEA demonstrating that the Islamic Republic of Iran has been building a covert uranium enrichment facility near Qom for several years. Iran is refusing to live up to those international responsibilities, including specifically revealing all nuclear-related activities.
The world does not want and must work together to avoid a nuclear Iran.
Iranians are trying to not just mock, but deny a Holocaust
while simultaneously preparing to launch another.
Fox News.
The president of Iran is talking about genocide, wiping Israel and, frankly, the United States off the map.
You might like to know what the Bible has to say about Israel in the last days. Is this the beginning of Ezekiel 38? We don't know, but it's getting close.
As a Jew, I feel much more threatened by people like Jimmy Carter when Israel is facing genocidal enemies who have sworn to destroy it and kill the Jews.
Ahmadinejad is the new Hitler. Too many Americans, and particularly on the left, don't see that. They don't see the threat. Ahmadinejad is saying to people in Iran that the end of the world is rapidly approaching, and it is his mission to bring it about by destroying Israel.
Another one said, I want to destroy the Jews of the world. And another one said, only when no Jews are living, the world will be better. We know that the Shoah came. Take Ahmadinejad very seriously.
Israel might be wiped off the map.
He says Israel should be wiped off the map.
Wiped off the map.
Eliminate Israel from the face of the earth.
Wiped off the map.
Wipe Israel off the map.
Wiped off the map.
Wiped off the map. Destruction of Israel.
Israel should be wiped off the map.
Are we going to have to wait until there's a mushroom cloud over Jerusalem? Nearly half of the U.S. believes we will eventually have to take military action against Iran, according to our new Fox poll.
I'd love to think there's something to negotiate with Iran about, but you have a president there who his sworn aim is to wipe Israel off the face of the map and kill every Jew in the Middle East.
The regime in Iran is very aggressive indeed and have made... They may not mean it, and we don't know, but you've got to take them at their word. If they say the leader of Iran says he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
He didn't say that. You know very well he didn't say that. He said he wanted Zionism to be wiped off the page of history.
Well,
just like he said, Nazism and communism. When you wanted to wipe out communism, you didn't want to wipe out Russia. You didn't want to wipe out the Russian people. This was a political statement.
Well, George,
it's all right in the news
record,
of the war, but this
George,
is the Oxford Union plan.
George,
have a bit of intellectual rigor.
George, okay. Your record of...
If you're suggesting that there's going to be a full military invasion of Iran...
No, I'm not suggesting that. James, I'm not suggesting that. But what I'm telling you, and I promise you on this, and I hope you never have to phone me up and say that I was right. I'm promising you this. Do not imagine that Iran will treat a strategic strike any differently from a full-scale invasion. Trust me on this, James. I know what I'm talking about. If we bomb Iran, Iran will bomb us back. And amongst the places it will bomb us is here in the center of London. Innocent people will die. Don't imagine for one second that the deaths will be restricted to Iranians in the north of Iran or anywhere else. Any attack on Iran will be met by a full-scale response by Iran everywhere and anywhere. Trust me on that, James.
Which is why we must disable it from having nuclear weapons.
Well, you say that, but I wonder, living in Suffolk, if you're just maybe imagining you'll be safe from being disabled yourself. But let me tell you, as someone who lives in London, who represents 100,000 souls in London, who lost constituents the last time an underground train blew up, let me tell you, there'll be a lot of disabled people in London in return for your disablement of Iran's nuclear power plants, which are absolutely legal, which they have as much right to develop as we do, and any attempt to bomb Iran, which you're attempting to sanitize with all your military talk, any attempt to bomb Iran will not be one strategic strike on one place in the north of Iran. It will have to be hundreds of strategic strikes on more than 80 places, even if it's only restricted to the nuclear plants. And there's every reason to believe, in the wake of the American statement, criminalizing, making terrorists of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, which is 150,000 people, which is an indispensable part of Iran's military forces, as terrorists. There's no reason to believe that they're not going to be attacked as well. And I'm telling you, James, and you seem strangely unmoved by it, Iran is not a broken-backed country. Don't imagine this is some cheap
broken down, darkest African, impotent, defenseless country that you are so somnolently seeking to talk us into bombing. Iran will respond ferociously everywhere if we attack Iran. Self-defense, James.
The real nightmare scenario is the prospect of mullahs in Iran having weapons.
Well, tell me, James, why is that more of a nightmare scenario than Ariel Sharon having hundreds of nuclear weapons, or George Bush having thousands of nuclear weapons, or General Musharraf, who's one bullet away from Islamic Revolution in Pakistan, having nuclear weapons, or the government of India, which refuses to live up to its promises under the Non-Proliferation Treaty? Why are some people, James, allowed to have nuclear weapons, but others are not?
The threat that we face from Iran is far, far greater than the threat we face from the United States.
Why do we face a threat from Iran? What has Iran ever done to us? Iran hasn't invaded another country in more than 300 years. And 300 Spartans saw them off. What's the threat from Iran to us? What have they ever done to us, James?
Well, Iran, if you recall, fought a very brutal war against Iraq.
I can't believe that you just said that. Iran didn't fight a brutal war against Iraq. Iraq invaded Iran. Iraq invaded Iran using our weapons and with the support of our government. What do you mean they fought a brutal war against Iraq? They were invaded, for God's sake.
They were invaded, but they fought a very brutal campaign.
But what does that have to do with them being a threat to us, for God's sake? We encouraged Iraq to invade them, and now you're using the fact that they fought hard to defend their country when it was invaded as a reason for us invading them. You're going to give me a heart attack, James. I better go on.
Because of the propaganda, we equate Zionism with Jewish people. It's not how it is. It's to a very, very large extent. How many people know this? How many Jewish people around the world are protesting, have organizations created to protest against Zionism? Zionism and Judaism are diametrically opposed. Zionism is state-organized terror. How many times do we see this in the newspapers? Never. End of Zionism equals peace. Israel, stop killing Palestinians. I am Jewish and I want that. Why don't we hear about this? We condemn any Zionist aggression against Iran. I thought every Jewish person in the world wanted to bomb Iran. That's what the media seem to give us an indication about. Another Jew against Zionism. Over and over. Zionist spokesmen do not represent world Jewry. How many people, I thought Ahmadinejad of Iran is supposed to be the great demon of all Jewish people. Ah, look at this. The demonization comes from Rothschild Zionism. And to shut people up, the Rothschilds have created organizations like the Anti-Defamation League. They haven't sent me a bloody Christmas card for years, these people. I don't want to upset them or what. But I'm speaking in New York in October. That could be funny. Anyway, they set these organizations up to target those people who are saying the sort of things that I'm saying. The idea is to throw you're a racist at people, so to shut them up or discredit them. Like I say, I don't give a shit. You throw it, son, and I'll hit the bugger back.
Well,
that was great. I just very strong. Very, very good. And you can get that from YouTube and get it from David Icke's site. Let's see, the name of it is this.
Should come up when you turn that down.
They already changed it.
Oh, they changed it?
Yeah, The Rothschilds.
Rothschild framework?
Zion framework.
So it gives you an introduction into what they do, what they think.
Yeah.
And how difficult it is to go up against that framework because it's
absolutely.
All over. It's like a spiderweb. They're everywhere.
Oh, it really is. It's absolutely staggering. And it's called the Zion frame mainframe. It's by David Icke. Very, very good.
Well, he's very knowledgeable about all this, folks. He sure is.
And we got about 10 minutes left. I want to see if I got a little more. Let's see. I don't understand this personally. In this article, though, I've been trying to figure out, but there hasn't really been any mention as to why we now have a base in Australia.
Yeah, why?
Okay, but we
that was announced today.
Yeah, this article though is states. Now this is an interesting. It's got a map on here too. It says U.S. military troops and bases around the world. And if you look at this,
we're
almost everywhere. We have a base almost in almost every country, right? And in the world. And after months of assuring a skeptical and disgruntled Australian public that the U.S. military would be getting a permanent base in Australia.
Would not be getting a permanent base in Australia.
I'm sorry. The Sydney Morning Herald has reported the U.S. Marine base for Darwin. U.S. President Barack Obama is credited with the decision, one overtly declared to be in direct response to the rise of China. Despite Obama getting credit, however, one shadowy institution is overly ecstatic over the announcement, and while the Australian Defence Minister, Stephen Smith, attempts to reassure the public that Australia will not have U.S. bases, this institution's new blogs has already declared the decision as potentially the moment where Australia fundamentally casts its lot with the U.S.
vis-a-vis China.
Right. And this institution is particularly ecstatic because despite the media giving credit to Obama, it was their idea, one they've been promoting openly since June, right? So this is why, this is from Activist Post, and I wanted to read it a little bit further.
The Lowy Institution, which masquerades as an Australian think tank, is in actually funded and representative of the global corporate financier oligarchy, described in detail in Globalist Australian Nexus. It was specifically noted as far back as June 2011 that the Lowy Institute was behind a call for establishing U.S. military bases throughout Australia. The Australian specifically named the Lowy Institute as one of the unelected planners behind making the case for U.S. bases. And in the recent Lowy Institute affirmation of the policy as Obama prepares to unveil their corporate-funded agenda in Darwin, Australia, next Thursday, Lowy, back in June, also cited China and the inclusion of Australia in a more aggressive strategy being pursued by Wall Street and London to maintain their financial, economic, and strategic hegemony throughout Asia. While Lowy's fake news blog, The Interpreter, claims most Australians should feel content with this announcement, in reality, they should be up in arms over it. A corporate-funded, unelected think tank is dictating policy to an entire nation, not even for their own best interests, but overtly to enhance a foreign corporate oligarchy and its
oligarchy.
I don't pronounce it that way.
No, but that's how.
And its projection of power throughout Australia's backyard. Instead of cultivating a constructive relationship with Asia on its own terms, Australia has now been manipulated through duplicitous, self-serving organizations like the Lowy Institute to adopt a stance of confrontation, encirclement, and unsustainable militarism, leaving Australia as the first line of defense for Wall Street and London if their house of cards collapses.
Fascinating. Australians need to ask themselves sincerely if they are ready to shed blood and jeopardize all they have built for the sake of Anglo-American global hegemony. And there is absolutely no reason Australians on their own can't produce a strong defensive military to deter future aggression, wherever it may come from. while establishing reasonable ties with their sovereign neighbors. Instead, their military is off in far-flung Afghanistan, fighting Wall Street and London's wars, expending money, resources, and brave lives that could better serve Australia domestically and regionally. It is imperative that the people understand just where this policy came from. Neither elected representatives in Australia nor America, but rather a corporate-funded think tank full of unelected and largely unknown policymakers. This is your real government, and the price paid for continuing on ignorant of this is living a destiny not written by the people, but by a cleverly disguised corporate fascist oligarchy that will bleed you and your nation to death on its own agenda. And this is by Tony Cartolucci.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote this. And
he's right about that.
Oh, hell yeah. He's not kidding. There's no question.
Very scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wholesale prices rise 1.6% due to biggest jump in food.
Yep. Where is that?
Right here. Folks, have you been to the store lately?
I just bought a can of coffee today that went up, that doubled in price over the last month, actually. You know, it used to be $6.50 or $6.70.
That's the same argument.
33 ounces, and it's now it's not $12. So, you know, just kind of like, well, you know, it's similar.
You came back to, I don't know why you came back, you didn't do it correctly. So
it's
that kind of luck.
Oh, it's coming up.
Oh, maybe.
It's coming up. Yeah.
Is it?
It's trying to come up.
Oh, it's trying to come up. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's taking too long.
I see. Yeah.
That's why.
It'll
pop up. That's what'll do it. Interesting.
Yeah. So let's go back to this. See if we can get
might
that.
Might be able to get it now. We will try it again. Up to the bottom.
Damn pop-ups are
killing us.
Brutal.
Go up though. Right there.
It's not there now. Okay, then is that negative? Ready for it? Huh.
That's odd.
Oh, that left all of a sudden.
Huh.
Very interesting. Now, sometimes these things get.
They get pulled.
They get pulled, you know? And, they don't want you to know that stuff. For some reason, it's gone. I don't know why.
How weird is that?
Bloomberg poll shows Ron Paul could actually win Iowa.
Hmm.
That's interesting. NASA finds Great Lake of Water on Jupiter's moon. Disturbing public school bullies now extend to teachers. Public school bullies now extend to teachers.
What does that mean exactly? The teachers the bullies or the bullies are bullying the teachers?
Oh, guess what happened? Gerald Celeni lost all his gold. Okay, it was emptied out by MF Global, which was a company that all his gold.
Yeah.
They stole all his freaking gold.
How could they do that?
Really? Yeah. And all of his gold is gone. Snatch squads caught on camera. Yeah, okay. Let's check this one. Public schools bullies now extend to teachers.
So much about buying gold from those companies. We said that was going to happen.
Even Celente.
Mm-hmm.
A sharp Celente, okay, Mr. Trendseller, didn't.
They can take your gold any way you want.
Sure they can.
Any way they want.
And it wasn't the government that did it. It says public school bullies now extend to video. To teachers, rather.
Oh, special needs student accuses teacher of bullying.
What do you think of that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get out of there.
Those things are always so subjective, you just don't know.
They really are, because Lila and I both have worked with special ed. Oberman. Yeah. We only got about 1 minute left.
Yeah, oh, that's...
So I guess we're pretty much done.
Hmm.
Yeah, how can the American people ever trust Congress again after learning of the rampant insider trading that has been going on? It says, revolt, throw all the bastards out.
I like that.
And that's the way to end this thing. And I'm going to ask you to check out, this was a great article, too. This is a great thing I wanted to play. If we can do it next week. Horses of the Last Gasp on Meat Street. Really interesting. But but anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We're kind of out of time. And but we will be back again tomorrow night here when we go into the fourth dimension with you. And for that, we want to...
I hope you have a great night, folks,
yeah.
And talk to you again soon.
Yeah. And please tell your friends about us, if you like the show.
Interesting stuff.
Send it along to your buddies. All right, so thanks a lot, folks, and have a great night. Let's see, I'm going to play us out here. All right, good night, folks.